Now, have you ever looked at someone else and thought to yourself, or maybe even said it out loud to someone, if he would just get a job and put his energy into making a good life for himself, he wouldn't be in the shape he is? You don't have to raise your hands. And maybe you haven't said these exact words, but I'm going to make a bet, and I'm not a betting person, that at least 85% of us in this room have had that kind of thought, and 85% is me being charitable. When I was serving at another church east of here, I met a woman who came to us very frequently for assistance. She drove about 30 minutes on the days that the traffic was good, and even longer to get to us. She drove all the way from Round Rock to receive the little assistance that the church could give her. She had three children. One was in school, one was almost in school, and one was in a stroller. And so the first time she came over to us, I asked her, "Why did you come so far to receive whatever assistance we can give you? Certainly there are churches close by to where you live who could help." She said, "Yes, there are churches over there, but they're not very nice." I went, "Oh, okay." So I talked to her that day while her middle child almost single-handedly dismantled my entire office. That was the fastest kid I've ever seen. But we talked for a long time about her family and about her children and about her situation in life. And so after a little bit of conversation, I asked her if I could pray for her before she left, and she said, "Yes, I could." And so as she left, after the prayer, I gave her a Walmart gift card. That was what we did over there, and handed her a Walmart gift card, and she left the office. And she came back over and over and over again. In fact, it got to the point where we had to limit the number of times that she could receive assistance from us. But every time she came, we had the same routine. She brought the middle child and the one in the stroller. They came into my office. I got better at putting things up high, but we would talk, and we would have a conversation, and we would pray, and she would leave with a gift card in her hand. Well, one day I wasn't there, and she just happened to show up. And so the other pastor, who did not know the routine, invited her in, and he talked to her a little bit, and then gave her a gift card, and opened the door, and thanked her for coming, and he was kind of getting her out the door, and she said, "Pastor, ain't you gonna pray for me?" And he went, "Oh, yes, yes I am, come right back in." and so he did pray with her, and she left with that gift card and her prayer. But sometimes I wonder if the prayer and the conversation with reasonable adults wasn't maybe the most important part for her to come and visit us. Now, today's passage is probably familiar to all of you, and maybe it's just a little uncomfortable, but we all know by now that Jesus can have that effect on us. And so, as always, I want to put things in perspective and take us back to what happened before we get to this passage today. So, in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 18, where we find ourselves today, we find the parable of the persistent widow. Sometimes it's called the unjust judge. It goes by both of those names. We talked about it last week, as a matter of fact. But those verses tell about a widow who goes to a judge for justice, and the judge ignores her, saying he doesn't love God and he doesn't love people, and to quit pestering him. But finally, she continues and continues and continues until finally he relents and gives her justice. And after this story, Jesus turns and tells the disciples, in verses 7 and 8. Even the unjust judge rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Now, Jesus is reminding us to pray persistently and not to give up hope that he will return someday. And then we get to verse 9. I mean, it's just the very next verse, and here's what it says. Then, so that tells us something different is about to happen. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and who looked down on everyone else. So right away we can see that the audience has changed. Before, he was talking to the disciples about an unjust judge who didn't care for God or people. Now he's talking to a group that seems to have more in common with the unjust judge than they do with the persistent widow. He might even be talking to us. I mean, after all, who among us prays day and night? And who among us has not at some time looked down on someone else? So this parable, like all of them, are for us today who are gathered here. So here's the story. Two men go to the temple to pray. A Pharisee who obviously worked very hard at being righteous says a prayer, and verse 11 says he prayed by himself. And so he says to God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, and I'm sure not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give 1/10 of all of my income. Now, Carla told us, don't you love the children's sermon? Carla told us a little bit about how tax collectors were viewed in those days. I don't know that we have any better view of them today, but back in the day, they would go and collect the taxes from the people, but they weren't paid. They didn't receive a salary from the government, and so the only way that they could get a salary was to put a little extra on the top of the tax that they were supposed to collect and then take the tax to the Roman government and keep whatever they could get from the people back for themselves. So you can see why people didn't much like them. Well, the tax collector then has his prayer. The tax collector, one who is hated and disdained by his people. And he can't even look to heaven. All he can say is, oh God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It kind of makes you want to be a tax collector, doesn't it? Maybe not. But it could make you want to recognize your status as a sinner in need of mercy. You decide if you'd rather be a tax collector or a sinner who needs mercy. But the bottom line is this: the tax collector went home justified. That's a fancy word for forgiven. The tax collector went home forgiven, not because he deserved it, but because he asked God for mercy. And the Pharisee focused on himself, and he looked down on the tax collector, whereas the tax collector focused on God, and he confessed his sin. Now it's clear that Jesus favors the prayer of the tax collector over the prayer of the Pharisee, and I don't think it's because he liked tax collectors better than he liked Pharisees. He was known to eat with both groups of people. So I give you fair warning right now. It is dangerous for any one of us to jump ahead in this parable and say, Lord, I thank you that I am not like that Pharisee. That's not the intent of this parable. I think instead that this parable is telling us who we are as followers of Jesus Christ, and it is telling us who God is. I think it tells us who we are at our very core. Now, as you know, we were all created in the image of God. Are we all on board with that? Oh, yay. So I'm going to give you a kind of interesting example. God created us in his image. He created all of creation and left his mark on the created order. So I want you to think about fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to put myself in trouble so I can tell something funny about Winfred Bauer. So go with me here. When you think about fruit and vegetable, where is the seed? It's right in the center, right? It's not along the outside of the fruit. I mean, can you think of one fruit that has the seeds all on the outside? That's what Winfred Bauer said. Strawberries. And so I had to say, thank you, Winfred, for reminding me that sometimes our seeds, our mark of God, can show even on the outside. But most of the created order has the mark of God way down deep in the core, just like we do. Where do we call the center of us? Our hearts. That's where God puts his image inside of us. He puts himself at the center of our being, and most of us humans spend our entire lifetimes trying to push him to the outside and replace him with our own thoughts and our own desires at the center. We try to make ourselves look good to others, and we even try to fool God into believing that we are worshiping him with all of these outward actions. The tax collector had no such delusions. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was a sinner. My friend from the East, she was the same. She had no delusions about herself. She knew that there was no way she could live on her own and rely on her success in life to make her accepted by others. I have to confess that one day when she came by, after I had met her so many times and I felt a little bold to speak, I said to her, you know, if you would spend as much time looking for a job as you do looking for the church to help you, you could have a really good living. And she said, but I'm disabled. And I looked at her and I said, well, what is your disability? Because for the life of me, I couldn't see any. She said, well, I have a mental disability. And I went, okay. But the bottom line is, the two of us became closer as we shared our sin with each other, because it was sinful of me to make judgments about her, even though I thought I knew her. Experience had taught her that the church wasn't always a welcoming place. And so she kept on looking until she found a church where she could feel welcome. And in the end, this is so important, she didn't ask for a bigger gift card. She asked for prayer that looked like it was going to be withheld. That's what she came for. Aren't you going to pray with me? My visit's not over until the prayer has been said. God put his image in us so that we would stay in touch with him, so to speak. It's how we're wired. We're put together in such a way that we naturally yearn for God. We yearn for the one who created us. And even people who don't claim to be believers like we do, even people who don't claim to be believers will turn to God in a crisis. God help me. Lord, have mercy. Those are prayers. And yet we who claim to be believers dare to pray in such a way that we put ourselves above those that we disdain. And maybe our real motivation here is fear. Maybe we are secretly afraid that someone will catch us being vulnerable or soft or weak. And we sure don't want to be weak or soft. And yet it is in our weakness that we can grow closer to God. It is when we are weak that God can work with us. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a mirror for all of us. Maybe we should see it as a selfie. Maybe we should take a collective selfie of the church and find out who we are at our core. Who lives inside of us? Is God at the center of our hearts, or is it someone or something else? Are we living as those who have created us, who are created in the image of God? Are we giving God the credit, or are we acting as though we're doing God a favor by living these outwardly holy lives? I do know this. You can't tell who someone is by only looking at the outside. Our children sang about that last week. We have to go deeper. We have to look way down into their hearts to see who they are. And we have to understand that they are just like us, people in need of a Savior. The way we live, the way we view God, the way we treat others, that's who we are. Alan Culpepper says, only the merciful can receive mercy, and only those who forgive will be forgiven. Those are hard words. But once we receive mercy from God, we are more inclined to give mercy to others. Have you noticed that as a truth in your life? When you receive a mercy from God, it makes you more inclined to have mercy on someone else. But if we believe that we have no need for mercy, we won't ever be able to extend it to others. And I got to say, it's pretty hard to rely on God when you are convinced that God alone isn't enough to meet your needs. So may we all pray this week, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And having received mercy from God, may we all extend it to the people who are just like us, the ones who don't deserve it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.